Good morning and blessed Christmas yesterday. And today, I'd like us to stand and read the passage that I've chosen for us to read, which is from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 24, and then verses 39 to 40. Okay, I will read from my... You can read, okay. All right, on the count of three, one, two, three. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. When Joseph, and this is verse 39, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. Well, today is December 26th. In the whole year, this is probably one of the more humble days of the year, December 26th. At least December 24th gets to be called Christmas Eve. Of course, Christmas Day and 25th is Christmas Day. But December 26th, well, it's just the day after Christmas. Now, if you're in the British Commonwealth, it's called, sometimes in your calendar, you still find it, it's called Boxing Day. It's not a day for a match between two guys trying to beat themselves up, okay. But Boxing Day is, or December 26th, is like the day after. A day that people tend to like, oh, okay, it's the day after Christmas. But today is that day. There's, you know, Christmas and Advent, there's much anticipation. We spend the whole 4 weeks anticipating Christmas, and then it's all over. And then we start to put the decorations away, we have dishes to wash, and well, you know, there's the inevitable credit card bill that comes in January. In the Christian calendar, in the tradition of the Christian calendar in the lectionary year, the year actually begins now. It doesn't end now, although it's in the calendar year that we have, it's the end of the year. It's like, oh, everything is winding down. But in the Christian calendar, it begins now. So, December 26th, the day after, what now? You know, December 26th is like the day after the missions conference, the day after that great Mount Everest experience with the inspiring preacher and the challenges of the work on the mission field, or is the challenge at the youth camp, the mountaintop youth camp, and then you come down to the valley the next day. December 26th is kind of like that day. When all the adrenaline has ebbed away and all you are confronted with is the ordinariness of the mundane. What do you do then? The day after, what now? And the big idea is simply this: keep calm and carry on with Christ. On December 26th and every other day that looks like December 26th, keep calm and carry on with Christ. We know the story of Christmas, but we don't really pay much attention to the story after Christmas. After the angelic hosts have vanished from the sky and the music has disappeared into silence, and the shepherds had to go back to their sheep, what happened to Mary and Joseph and the young baby Jesus? The Bible doesn't say very much. It does say a few things, but not a whole lot. But I can imagine what it would be like. Well, they have to go back to, well, Joseph had to go back to finding, hey, what do we do? We can't stay in here in the manger forever, you know. Better go and look for, knock on more doors and say, do you have a place where we can stay? Mary will have to carry on with the feeding and the cleaning. These are the ordinary things that happen after Christmas Day. So when the music fades, what happens then? Well, Let me say the first thing that must continue to do happen is keep calm and carry on obeying. Keep calm and carry on obeying. Now, this young family, notwithstanding the unusual visit by you know, angels, they were visited by angels earlier on, but by shepherds out of the blue, and then proclaiming all sorts of strange things that they're like, wow, make their ear tingle. They had to carry on with stuff after that. Life has to go on. On December 26, on the day after, life has to carry on. The ordinary life. You know, in Luke chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, it says, we just read, right? It's just that said that on the eighth day, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem, not a long distance, but still a bit, to present him to the Lord as it is written, as is required of them. They did what they were required to do. They didn't sit there reveling and say, wow, what a fantastic event that was. And then our little baby boy is going to be what? Savior of the world, don't quite understand what is that, but hey, this is going to be great. We could put out a billboard and we could put up a banner and we could sell tickets for people to come and see this Savior of the world. Nope, they carried on with what they were supposed to do, which was to obey the law. Do as what is required of you on December 26th. Of us on December 26th. It's very true. I still have dishes to wash when I go back afterwards. Okay? But life has to carry on. We can't live on the highs of the festivities or the highs of the mountaintop. Thank God for the mountaintop experiences and encounters with God. But we have to go back to the ordinary. You know, in a few days, some of you had to take your kids to school. The car has to be washed. The laundry has to be put up. You got to get ready to do your taxes because it's coming to the end of the year. You know, you got to fix that squeaky door, pay your bills, and eventually, all of us are doing your year-end leave, but eventually you have to go back to work on time. Okay, no glamour, no music accompaniment in the background, okay, but just ordinary stuff. You know, one of the things that I dread every single day, right, in these last 2 years, is me and my wife looking at each other and say, mea. Every single day, what do we eat? What do we eat? After a while, we get, you're tired of this question. Eating. You know, life, much of our life is like our everyday meal. After a while, you get down to eating zafan. Right? You can't be eating the fancy meals, every single meal. After a while, you just get back to, just eat the ordinary stuff. Much of our life is like that. It's not the five-star meals. Occasionally, that's fine. But more ordinarily, it's your one-star or five-ringgit zafan. You know, there is more to the Christian life than the mountaintop encounters with God. Thank God there is the everyday with Jesus. Really, most of our life is about the mundane, the ordinary. It is not the awards and the accomplishments and the accolades and the applause. Those are highs, okay? And legitimately, they are good. But they're not meant to be every day, nor should we expect them to be every day. It is in the everyday, in the mundane, in the routine, in the ordinary, that we need to see our obedience to Christ. Keep calm and carry on with Christ. Keep calm and carry on obeying. Have you ever noticed that the requirements for elders in the New Testament, right, in leadership in church, actually very mundane, you know, right? Titus chapter 1, verse 5, it says, an elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Very boring stuff. Very, very boring stuff. It's the stuff that is built to every day. It doesn't say that the elder must be good-looking, tall and handsome, and have won awards, and be able to speak eloquently, and be able to do cartwheels on the stage. And no, nothing like that at all. says, must be blameless. Man faithful to his wife. Now, in this day and age, one knows how difficult that can be with all the lifestyles that are going on in this world. In the everyday faithfulness, paying attention to the ordinary, to the routine, to the repetitive. Perhaps the secret of all this is in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, where Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest in much. If you are faithful in the ordinary, routine, mundane things of the everyday, you set yourself up to be prepared to do that which is extraordinary. I got to tell you about a documentary movie, now they call those things, entitled 14 Peaks on Netflix. It's this extraordinary story, true story of a man by the name of, they call him Nims, who conquered the highest 14 peaks in the world, what they call 8,000ers, peaks in the world above 8,000 meters. And he set to conquer it. Now, the last record of the 14 peaks being conquered was to be conquered in 7 years. He set out to conquer it in 7 months. Extraordinary story. Of course, it was so exciting. But the back story was, this man was a Nepali. He grew up in high altitude environment. He also, because he was a Nepali and he was poor, he chose to join the British Army as a Gurkha. And of course, with the training as a Gurkha, he spent years there making good money. He also decided that he would join the special forces of the British Army, the special boat service. He trained and trained and trained to be able to get into the special boat service. And when he was in the special boat service, he served. How did he manage to be the first person, and probably will be the only person for a long time to come, to conquer 14 8,000ers in 7 months, literally one mountain after the other, non-stop? The backstory is, you might say he had been preparing for it all of his life, living in a high-altitude environment, been fit enough to join the British Army, and then super fit and to be able to be part of the special boat services, special forces. We revel in this, oh, he conquered the 14 peaks, but we don't see the training he put himself through to be in the physical condition to be able to cope with that feat. On December 26th, not just today, but every other December 26th, keep calm and carry on obeying in the ordinary days of your life. Now, however, if you hear God telling you to do something extraordinary, right, please obey, okay? Because in Matthew chapter 2, this is again after Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it reads, when they had gone, okay, this is the three wise men, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there and until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Guess what he did? So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. He paid attention to the ordinary. He had to do all the stuff he had to do. But Joseph, when he received the dream, when he had an angel speak to him, he obeyed. Now, if an angel speaks to you, please obey, okay? When God speaks to us out of the ordinary, to accomplish, to do out something out of the routine, obey Him. But most of the time, we have to deal with what's in front of us, we have to deal with every day. This is where our faithfulness to Christ is constantly honed and tested. So keep calm and carry on obeying in the ordinary. Secondly, what do you do on December 26th? The day after, what now? Keep calm and carry on reflecting. In the carrying on of life, some things Some things could be unusual. Some things are, what was that all about? Things. These things come up in our lives. You know, you can imagine the story for Mary and Joseph. They hear things being said, I'm sure they didn't quite understand it. Right? Shepherds said to them, oh, there's a child going to be king and a savior. It's like, huh, interesting. Things had been said to Mary by the angel, Gabriel. Elizabeth said some stuff to Mary's. But there were more stuff. Right? There were more stuff that had been said to them. I'm sure they did not really understand. What does the Bible say about what Mary did with this? In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, we know the story where, we just had read in Luke 2, they had taken Jesus to Jerusalem to be circumcised. And when they took Jesus to be circumcised, there were two elderly people who came up to them. Out of the blue, people that they didn't know, right? One man, one woman. And they had said even more perplexing stuff to them. And you could wonder, I can imagine the look on Mary and Joseph's face and say, okay. And what did Mary do? She kept this in her heart and she pondered them. She thought about them. Perhaps every single day after that, she pondered these thoughts of these extraordinary things said to her. She lived those words in her head, in her heart. Now, we also know the story 12 years later when Jesus, when the whole family goes down to Jerusalem and Jesus gets left behind, right? We all know that story, okay? The parents had wandered, not wandered off, the parents had, were on their way back when they discovered, oh, baby Jesus, 12-year-old Jesus is not with us. And they rush back, and after a few days, they finally find him. And there he is, sitting with the teachers of the law, talking and discussing Scripture. And of course, everybody marveled. Scripture also says that the parents also marveled. What did he do after that? They all went home. But it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. You know, there will be mountaintop experiences, and thank God for mountaintop experiences, yes? But there will be mountaintop experiences, those extraordinary encounters, but they all call for us to reflect and ponder, to treasure those things and keep asking, Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you saying to me? How does this flow into my everyday life? Reflecting, I think, is one of those things that I feel is a lost art of the 21st century. The ancients in the Christian world taught us to reflect, meditate, ponder. But in today, our fast-paced world, everything is in a click of a finger, to Mr. Google for all your answers. Mr. Google cannot reflect on your behalf. You have to reflect on your own. Is God doing something here? That is a question we must be constantly asking. Is God at work here when you're doing your dishes like I will be doing in a couple of hours? Is God speaking to me through this incident? I went to a wedding yesterday, a wedding reception yesterday, and there were some things that I were heard. I thought, that's very interesting. Is God saying something to you in your everyday? Reflecting. Keep calm and carry on reflecting, like Mary. In Psalm 107, verse 43, it says, let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. And I pray that all of us would know and feel and encounter the love of God every day. But in all honesty, I don't think we are able to feel exactly the same way. You know, we have that fantastic worship and that fantastic message, and we sense the love of God for us. But it doesn't always happen every day. How do we keep that alive? By pondering it. I know that God loves me, when I ponder Scripture, that what He did for me was not only when I came to Christ, but He had already done for the people of God, to the people of Israel, to the people around Jesus. When Jesus died more than 2,000 years ago, that was when love was evident, while I was still a sinner. When I ponder these things, I know the love of God. Psalm 111, verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord, they are pondered by those who delight in Him. Our times with God each day, whether in reading Scripture, in prayer, should be our ruminating on the good things of God, the acts of God, the work of God in our lives, but also the work of God through Christ for us already accomplished. In this life, in this world today, much of what people want is quantity, more. Everybody wants more, right? More money, more holidays, more good times. But there's a quote I want to share with you. The wise will always reflect on the quality, not the quantity of life. It's like the good food I mentioned just now. So keep calm and carry on obeying. Keep calm and carry on reflecting. And third and lastly, keep calm and carry on always. Always. You know, one of the things about our Heavenly Father is His unchanging character, His constancy, His always character. He is always good. He's always loving. He's always merciful. Psalm 33, verse 11. But the plans of the Lord stand forever, meaning to say constant. The purposes of His heart through all generations. Our God is always. He doesn't change and flip-flop and fickle-minded. And when you think that there may be sometimes, right? God has sometimes. He is still always. You know, He sometimes allows trials to come into our lives that we may be strengthened. But He is always available to help us overcome. God is always, and His character is unchanging. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, and James is writing to people who are suffering trials or looking at, wow, trials coming on our way. It says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James is admitting that there will be trials that will come into Christians' lives. But he is also saying, you can ask God for wisdom, and He will give it to you. Now, James goes on a few verses down to say, describe God as the Father of the heavenly lights who does not change, who does not change like shifting shadows. Our God is always. Now, if God is always as His children, we have to have the same constancy in character. This constancy in character doesn't come by someone laying His hands on you. How we wish that would happen. How we all wish that would happen, right? That our character would be changed and transformed when someone lays His hands on you. But it doesn't happen that way. God molds us through the everyday. And He shapes us into the image of Christ, the standard of maturity, which is Christ Himself, through the everyday. You know, I see this constancy in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where it says that the apostles and the early church, they were steadfast and they were devoted. Devoted, constant, right? They were devoted to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Doing the regular stuff on and on and on, repetitively, as it were. I'm sure they were wanted to see Pentecost all happen again. I imagine the next day they came together and said, okay, let's see whether that will happen again. Nope, it didn't. They were just to carry on with the apostles' teachings. What are some of the alwayses, the always, that the apostles exhort us to do? What are some of those things? So for example, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it says, but in your heart revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So one thing we are told to do and encouraged to do, challenged to do, is always be ready to share the hope that you have in Christ. Always be ready to share. Now, maybe you don't have the opportunity to share the entire gospel, the good news as you know it. But always be prepared to share the hope that you have. Even if it's just to say, hey, why are you, like the story that Terry shared a couple of weeks ago, right? All he had to say, started with is, well, I have a God who loves me and that I can trust. And maybe that's all you can say, and the conversation ends. But perhaps that sets it up for another conversation further down the road. Always be ready to share the hope that you have. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. Make sure that nobody pays you back wrong for good, wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually. So here, always do what is good, helpful, beneficial to others. Oh, by the way, Boxing Day, December 26th, in the British Commonwealth, in history, used to be the day when the factory owners, the business owners would give gifts to their staff, okay? But you guys, no such thing, okay? Give gifts to their staff because typically their staff would be poor. And so it was a time when the rich would give to the poor. Now it's appropriate that we consider AJW today. December 26th. 1 Thessalonians says, always do good. Now, there are many other alwayses in the New Testament. You can check it out. Ephesians chapter 5, always be thankful. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, always rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, we just read, pray continually. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, always be gracious in your speech. There are a lot of alwayses. These alwayses are for us to do in our everyday. Oh, we pray and wish for the Pentecost experiences, but in the everyday, we are called to pray continually. In the everyday, we are exhorted to do good. In the everyday, we are challenged to be gracious in your speech. It is in these alwayses that we grow in our character. It takes time. It takes the everyday, the little bit every day. I was at a wedding reception yesterday, and in our conversation with a couple at my table who run a business bringing in OEM parts for automobiles, and there was this talking, and they say, oh, we're getting our supply of parts from Thailand. I say, oh, why Thailand? Why not China? Why not elsewhere? Oh, I say, oh, the Thais are very good. I said, the Thais are very good. The Thais are so committed to their work, to their business, they're true entrepreneurs. And the lady made this remark. She said, you know, when they got rich, when the business expanded and they got rich, they didn't go and buy their Mercedes and, you know, all these fancy cars. So they take me around their factory and say, their factory are very big one, very big, okay. They take me down to their factory and these people, these young men, right, in their mid-30s, they pointed to the machinery. These are my Mercedes. These are my Ferrari. These are my BMWs. These young men in their mid-30s, laden with success, recognize that for their success to continue in business, they need to reinvest their profits into the business rather than spending it on ostentatious shows of wealth and success. And that got me thinking. They understood the principle of the ordinary. Factory machines are not glamorous, okay? Factory machines are, you cannot take around and put in your driveway and take it around the city to show people, hey, look at my machine. No, factory machines stay there, they look grimy, they look boring, unless you're an engineer, okay? But that's the stuff that make the things that they sell. It's the golden goose, if you know the story. And then I thought about it, yeah, this really like, they're investing in the ordinary. It's the stuff that they do every single day, and they're paying attention to that. It is in this unglamorous, ordinary, always in our routine lives that build our character. Giving you a sharing with a quote by Abraham Lincoln. He said, character is like a tree, and reputation is like a shadow. The shadow is what we think of it. The tree is the real thing. And perhaps in our quest, in our human quest for recognition, we want to be seen to do well, and we love those mountaintop experiences, and we love talking about those mountaintop experiences. And it's great. But guess what? The tree is in the everyday. The tree is in the everyday. My message today is about us following Christ and reveling in the December 26th of our lives. When the hype is gone, when the music's ended, and we go back to our homes, and we go back to our ordinary lives, that is where we really need to encounter and know that God is there, and not just God is, you know, in the worship concert or in the camp. God is there in your ordinary life to help you and to let you see that He is there with you. And I was pondering about Christmas. And I wonder, why God, you didn't send Jesus in an interstellar pod, right? Crash land and then come out. Ta-da! And everybody noticed, whoa, Superboy. It never happened like that. Okay, why didn't Jesus come appear in the scene with lightning in His hand, you know, then and people would take notice, oh, God is here. No, He came in a humble baby. And He lived a humble life, only to emerge at the age of 30. Why? Perhaps you might say Jesus was being prepared for ministry when He turned 30. In those every single day of humble, routine, mundane obedience. And perhaps that is exactly what God is challenging us all to be obedient, to be reflecting on all our experiences with God in the everyday, and to just carry on always doing those things that we need to do. This way, we build and grow in character and toward maturity in Christ. Our Christian growth does not come primarily from the exhilarating highs as it does from the mundane. You know, Olympic champions are crowned in glory. They're going to step up on the podium. And we applaud. There's flashing lights. But we never see them in their grueling training regimen in those 4 years in between. We are thrilled by our Pandalela, you know. Our Pandalela's perfection as she steps off the boat, steps off the platform and tumbles and then slices into the water. And, whoa! But we never see her as she does that 1,000 times in training. In my early adult Christian life, I had been surrounded by men who had been exceptional. One went to Singapore and planted a church, another went to Brisbane, another went to Adelaide. Only one remained exceptional. And the one that remained exceptional was the one that I look back and say, actually, I never expected him to do so well. But he did well because he was faithful. He paid attention to the everyday. He paid attention to the routine. And he was exceptional because he was faithfully following Christ in the everyday. My challenge to us all this morning is that we pay attention to the everyday. Don't just pay attention to the highs and the excitement, but pay attention to where God is in your life in the everyday. Whether you're a homemaker, you're an office worker, you're a business owner, in the everyday, Christ is there. And He calls for us to follow Him in our everyday. Maybe your everyday is, you know, say, Pastor, I got nothing to share with you lah. Well, if you stop and think about it, actually, you probably do. Because if God is in your life, God is in the ordinary, you will have a story to tell. But the story may seem to you extraordinary, mundane. But guess what? Your ordinary story can make a difference to somebody else's life. It could be just simply being faithful in what you're doing with a smile. And when somebody, why are you always smiling? I every day also have to do this. You, why are you smiling? And when you can say, because I have Christ in my heart who gives me hope. Will we keep calm and carry on with Christ? Keep calm and carry on obeying? Keep calm, carry on reflecting? And then keep calm and carry on always. This is how we deal with the December 26th of our life. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give thanks to you because, Lord, you are in our lives. And you have chosen to embrace us. And Jesus, you are there with us every single moment. In those things that we think, well, they're not too exciting, I don't think they will interest God. And yet, you do. You do take interest in all our lives. Father, I pray, Lord, you will speak to all our hearts, my brothers and sisters here, as well as those online, to recognize that you delight in us. You delight in us even though we may seem ordinary and doing mundane things. You delight in us. And the life of Christ is in us. Even at that time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for infusing, as it were, our lives in this way. Help us recognize it. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to take a few moments to speak to our friends who, you may not know Jesus Christ in your life. He is the one that can make our lives the everyday our lives meaningful. And for Him to come into your life simply just requires you to accept His invitation. How can you accept His invitation? You can accept His invitation by faith. Express in a simple prayer that simply says, sorry, thank you, please. This prayer could go like this. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I have lived my life apart from you, distracted by sin. I thank you that you gave your life so that I might live mine meaningfully and with God. Please come into my life and be my Lord and Master and my friend. In your name I pray. A simple prayer like that, it's all you need to pray. In faith, trusting that as God hears your prayer, Christ would come into your life. If you'd like to pray that prayer, I encourage you to say it in your own words, very simply, sorry, thank you, please. And if you do that, I encourage you, those who are online, to click on the button that says raise hands. And we will get in touch with you to help you work through what to do next. Father, we give thanks to you that you speak to us in all sorts of circumstances. And so, Father, we thank you that we hear you now. We will hear you tomorrow as well. Father, my prayer for all of us is that we would live our lives in your presence, beginning to see the ordinary as those spaces where you can meet with us. Lord, thank you that our meaning in our lives, the purpose comes from you. And so, Father, as we come to the end of our calendar year, as we anticipate the arrival of a new year, where so many people are hoping and wishing for new things, for a change, I thank you that change is already here in Christ Jesus, and the hope that we have is certain. Thank you, Lord. And so now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the everyday fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forever. Amen.